What is your body made up of?
All the components that the Wikipedia would tell me my arms and muscles and blood vessels are made up of.
No.
It does include that.
No, it does not.
What is it?
It's only cells.
Okay, so it's cells. Those are physical.
Well, are they? You are nothing other than cells. That's all you are. You are only cells.
We're only cells. What are cells made up of?
Protons, neutrons, and a field of ions.
Protons, neutrons, and you would include electrons?
Yes, in an ionic field.
The electrons are in an ionic field. Most people, when you ask what's a cell made up of, they go, neutrons, protons, electrons. They don't say ions usually.
In the ionic field, you're more than one atomic molecular.
Okay, people will say proton, neutron, electron. That's what the cell's made up of. And then someone will say, well, what about the ion? Oh, I didn't know about the ion. What's that?
Where more than one atom occurs.
More than one atom.
It's the peanut butter that smears the ions.
The electron, proton, neutron together.
Okay.
Those three. The ions, effectively, that's what's so appropriate about ion as a name. It's the thing that glues things together or smooths them over or resonates them together to coherency, correct?
Mm-hmm. So that's what you are.
Those are four parts.
Yep, that's all.
The ion is the nebulous envelope, the nebulous field. It's like the mind itself in physical terms that holds things together.
Okay, now, we ask you what the meat was.
That's what we're made up of, those four relations.
And that's all. Because you were saying with arms and legs and this, that, and the other. And then we said, no. Because some people can chop legs off, so now you're no longer human.
Okay, we've cracked the code. We know what we're made up of.
Okay.
What are they made up of? Are they the rock bottom? There's nothing below that. No subset of that.
But there is. Human creators with the physical and non-physical, with their labyrinth of their mind, with walls intact, gray matter snapping and working normally. Okay. Yeah. Here you go. They're now discovering when you have these atoms that have the electrons, they're constantly moving.
The atom is the proton, neutron, electron, and ion, correct?
Well, in an ionic field.
They're finding out what?
They're finding out that electrons are here, and then they pop and they're here. And then they look really closely. They have now electron microscopes, and they realize that two electrons can be in the same place at the same time. And they also can disappear from its structure altogether. And that anomaly is really causing some stir and some problems because the labyrinth of the mind said that the world is flat.
They're realizing that there's something other involved than the four components.
No. There's something else involved. Yes.
Making the ion act aberrant and anomalous. And the only way you can solve that is bringing the non-physical.
No,
in the parallel worlds.
Yes, that's it. And that's what proves parallel worlds. Because that's all you are is cells, lots of cells.
And that's what's going on at your basic foundational structure.
That's what's going on at your basic
foundation. And the rest of the world resonates, echoes that point.
And that's the consistent anomaly that they don't understand. Now, that's at the basis level. Now, we've done that from your physical.
Yeah.
Now, what is your non-physical?
Yeah. What's it
what
made
is
of?
That?
Yeah, what is that? That's right. What is it?
You can have non-physical with no meat sack whatsoever. No ions, no protons, no neutrons.
That's right.
No, none of that. Non-physical is not bound by your molecular structured rules and regulations.
Is it bound by the mind?
No. Hell no. Thank God.
Remember the Stone Cold Dead tapes. Mm. Once you're just non-physical, there's no mind.
And when you're talking about non-physical, it's a collective. It's not an individual, meat sack. It's a collective entity. It's all. Now, the way you'd show up in those applications of non-physical can be the inertia that causes kinetic energy to be begun.
You're now bringing in physical things, inertia and kinetic energy, right?
Yes, because you humans don't understand that either, but you know the representations and the valuations of those.
what's the values of inertia and kinetic energy? What's the expression of that?
Speed, being sedentary, hot, cold, even emotions, happy, sad, even conjecture, I mean, peace.
It almost brings in the attitude of the mind.
No, the mind is what gauges how you're doing.
You're saying somewhere the non-physical starts to touch and be manifested in the physical as kinetic energy or inertia.
It's the example that how it shows up. Mm. It's how they tell that you're still alive.
That's why people are affected by other people's actions. They feel.
That is correct. Yeah. That is correct. And that's the non-physical plugging in to the physical from the largeness.
Yeah, when people say you hurt my feelings, they're addressing the non-physical
thing. They're talking all of the feeling place that attaches them. But other people then would say, I'm so sorry I stepped on your foot. No, no, it's okay. I didn't feel a thing. Or you didn't step on my foot. I'm not going to let you close enough to hurt me.
That's a flip, but it started off on the person that you hurt my feelings, and the other guy said, oh, I'm sorry. No, you didn't hurt my feelings. That's the assertion of individualness in relation to the collective non-physical.
Separates you from being judged by the overlay.
Right. Is that the mind doing that?
It's the mind's application, but it's not the mind's fault.
You've got the non-physical as a collective. Once you start getting in the physical, there's a sensation of being an individual, and the mind kind of supports that in relation to the non-physical collective.
But then duality kicks in, and you go, wait, every human has the same amount of time. No, they don't. They last different numbers of days. No, no, no. We're saying that every human on the planet that's alive, they have the same amount of time, okay? That day, they have 24 hours a day or whatever, whatever. And we go, well, no, not so much, because some humans can get a ton of stuff done in an hour, and some people can't get nothing done in an hour, and that's not the same application of time. Well, no, see, it's the sameness. You have the consciousness, the collective consciousness, that's saying all men are equal, and then you have the individual saying, I'm glad I'm more equal than they are. I'm glad I'm more equal than she is. I'm glad I don't have that issue. So then you twist that back around from the collective side of non-physical, and then it becomes the application of the distance between the physical and the non-physical,
which is both you.
You're both you.
Yeah, there's the you that's an individual and the you that's the collective.
That's correct.
And it's A is to B and C is to D all the time, jumping around in ratios.
And the ratios are gauged by the judging contest of the labyrinth of the mind. And who's the judge? You are. Well, how do you judge? Not so well.
So the mind usually is judging based on matter, cultural input. But they probably overlaps a bit into the non-physical.
Absolutely it does, because there's things that show up that can't be that are. So there's things that show up that can't be that are.
The way the ionic field holds together the electron, proton, neutron sounds a bit like the mind, if you understand the mind is in the interval between modulating the cultural conditioning of the physical and leaking in and responding to non-physical. That's sort of what the ion is, sort of?
Let's say it like this. If the labyrinth of the mind, if you could remove the walls of the labyrinth, then you would be able to see clearly from one side of the mind to the other side of the mind. And there would be no choice or nebulous disconnection of being lost.
Is that what happens when you've transitioned?
No, it is not.
Yeah, there's no mind. There's no mind. But if, within the physical, right. If you could take away the wall, is that reflected in the role of the ion at the basic cellular structure?
And also it would give you clear-sightedness, so there would still be contrast because you'd still be in your confines of a labyrinth. It'd just be four square walls rather than a whole bunch of little rat trails where the rat's trying to find the cheese through the maze. It takes the amazement out of the maze.
So if you remove the ion...
No, if you remove the walls from the maze of the mind... You'd still have physical, you'd still have non-physical, and you'd have a mind, but it wouldn't be a labyrinth. You'd be able to clearly see all views and directions within your beingness.
Can you do that?
You damn sure can, and that's when heaven's going to show up on Earth.
When you remove the walls of your mind.
Absolutely, because then guess what? For the first time ever, you don't have to wonder, well, if I turn right, where will I go? Well, I'll go this way because I've done this before, and if I go this way, I'm the rat and I get the cheese. Well, then they change it, and then it can't go that way. Then it's lost. And then, well, what if I eat a Snicker bar? What if I don't eat a Snicker bar? Blah, 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 blah. All these choices and twistings that you wind through, if you knew the outcome, that you're going to be just as whole with a Snicker bar or without a Snicker bar, then you could follow the choice of what your preference to prefer would be. And without the maze, then you would be able to not wonder or question. You would know. I think I know.
Can we talk about the ion as a metaphor of what you're describing with the walls removed from the mind? Do I even bring the ion into it?
You certainly can, because it's the field that you're using to judge how these molecular atoms are connected together, the structure.
So you remove the walls of the mind, and that would affect the field of the ion.
It would take the amazement out of the maze.
And what would it take out of the ion?
Nothing. But it would open up your view. You wouldn't be talking to non-physical, wondering if it was really non-physical, or if it really was, or if you were God, or if you had power. Right.
Is it useful to bring in the ion in this conversation?
Certainly it is. It's the field by which you're trying to open up your view.
Then we come to the question, how do you remove the walls of your mind?
By very simply attaching as much significance to your non-physical part as you do your physical part. By opening up your mind, what is it they say on Fringe? Innumerable impossibilities.
Opening up your mind to that.
Yeah, that there is help, that there is a universe you're the center of, that you are in charge of it, that you are all-powerful, all-knowing.
But that requires at first a belief. You start believing it. You start believing it.
Because the evidence, the empirical evidence, becomes so fractured that you have no choice but to at least acknowledge it.
And that's where the faith comes in.
No, that's where science can't prove that it isn't.
You believe yourself into the cracking the walls of your mind.
And that's right. Done by thought, and that takes place in where? The mind.
And where's antimatter in the middle of that?
It is the opposing view that makes the black hole the anomaly that you can't get past. The event horizon that you can never arrive to.
So the antimatter is something that's engaged in this process of believing yourself to remove the walls of your mind. Antimatter is engaged in that? It's involved?
It's the opposite.
It's saying, nah, you can't do
it.
Correct.
And you have to wrestle with that.
You don't have to, but many do.
Yeah, just you don't have to, but you've got to figure out how to ignore it without ignoring it and all that.
Then answers will be questioned.
And when you know that there's the ionic field, that immediately expands your view of the three neutron, proton, and electron. It gives you that space of distance, the detachment.
Most people, the average person who's got a basic high school education or college, knows there's a neutrons, electrons, and protons, right? I don't know if the kids know about the ion. Maybe they teach it.
They do.
Adding ion to the thing is a new factor for you, right, Carol? And that's a metaphor of ion showing up, and it's being called on to complete the triad, to complete the meaning of the electron, proton, and the neutron. You're showing up now because the ion is the marginalized particle that people haven't been told much about.
They have been. They just don't call it that.
What do they call it?
The age of Aquarius, the flower children,
That's what they call the ion.
That's what allows the ion to be empirically referenced. You can have hippies. How did hippies decide that they wanted to be hipsters? Well, that's the ionic field that allowed the overlapping.
Right.
That
and the ionic
bad or
field,
wrong or out, outside of normal.
The ionic field, as you're saying it, is the factor of what McLuhan meant by tactility. Ion is the tactile. The tactile is a field.
It's the sameness of tactility.
Yeah.
That's good. Here we go. I have this pain, and this pain shows up over and over and over, and other people have the same pain, so therefore you have bursitis. That's the ionic field that allows the overlapping of even lack of ease.
You mean the overlapping where two people have the sameness?
The same symptoms, right. In the ionic field will give a doctor a heads up that you have the flu or a cold or cancer or tumor.
But he doesn't think about it as a tactile field. He just says, oh, you've got the same symptoms as that person.
And I've only looked at the most disconnected ones. So the most disconnected ones have this, and when they have this, it's that.
This comes back to your opening point. Where does individual consciousness overlap with the general sharedness of some idea that everybody kind of agrees is happening? Do you know what I mean? Like time. The idea there's time is something everybody thinks is there. You're just saying the ionic field is what makes the doctor see bursitis in two people. That is answering slightly my question about what the heck is it that goes from individual subjectivity where everybody's the center of the universe and they're all seeing a different thing, yet they kind of agree a bit. That's through the ionic field?
Correct.
Then ion can be appropriate metaphor for creating a new religion past templardom and Christendom, because ion is pointing out the field aspect, the tactile aspect, and then elaborating in these terms and these topics as you did tonight.
Okay. Could you spell the word nowhere?
N-O-W-H-E-R-E.
Okay. And if you put a space...
Now here.
Yeah, now here, yeah.
The nowhere... Now here is the anomaly that you spend all day, every day, of answering of where are we? We, not me, well, not where am I? Well, we're now here. Well, that's nowhere. Well, that nowhere is the example that you're trying to bring the anomaly closer to. We're nowhere close to where we should be.
Even though we're still now here.
Exactly. And that answering of that question becomes how skewed your labyrinth is.
The labyrinth is an ionic field, in a way. The field between now, here, and nowhere.
That's just the difference between you and you.
You take the maze out of the labyrinth of your mind, and you would clearly see where you are. You would clearly see where your non-physical are. And then the distance between those could be gained inclusively because you'd see the perspective of where your physical is and where your non-physical is. Then you wouldn't have all these questions of can I do it? Is it okay? Will they kill me? Can they kill me? Am I good? Am I bad? Can we do it? Yes, we can.
Many people have arrived at that perception or perspective.
And if they have, that's the key that Thoth was trying to get you into place with your emerald tablets of saying, if you could get rid of the amazement, the maze,
yeah.
Then guess what? It's not a hard journey. Life is not difficult. You aren't confounded every single moment of your every single day of nowhere that you're now here, and if you can figure out your perspective of your GPS for your balloons are of where now here is, then nowhere becomes quite an anomaly. And if it's an anomaly, then if you're not squandered by the perspective or the energy that it takes to understand that the electrons are not bound within this spherical plane. So once you understand that, parallel worlds, multifaceted worlds, become as easy as pie. Well, pie sometimes isn't easy, but pie is easy. It's easy as pie. You just put it in the pot and bake
it. Yeah, you've integrated, like, Rai, the definition of Rai that Cosmo Ware talked about was the original A-W-E, and so the word author was a subset of awe. So the principalities were built on awe or amazing, is stunning. And that was McLuhan meant the medium is a message. The environment stuns you. You are shaped by it. And he tries to get you to see through it. You're completing that by pointing out that we get rid of the amazement in the maze. And the amazement is the awe principle. You're stunned by where you are.
And you wouldn't be stunned if you could see all the perspectives and the choices of how it's going to come out. If there was no amazement, if there was no maze, you wouldn't be stunned by your perspective of the distance between you and you. But right now, you're just amazed. You are amazed.
Right.
That means riddled. That means you can't figure it out. That means that if you do figure it out, you're just surprised beyond your knowing. Well, if you know, then you're no longer surprised beyond your knowing.
But part of the ability to do that, getting beyond your amazement, is to know that once you think you've arrived, it's going to change again and you'll be re-amazed.
But it doesn't have to be tactility. There is fluidity within the ionic field. There doesn't have to be. You do this, you're the best one probably on the planet, Bob. Even better than all. Better than JW even. You do it better than most all because you won't even embrace it long enough to notice your perspective that you've calculated that's within your beingness or knowingness of accepting something. Because you figure, the time I take the time and energy to figure something out, it'll be all old hat.
Right. Now, that's what I was trying to say, that I can move rapidly, so to speak, and I know I'm going to be re-amazed, but I can erase it pretty quickly and then get ready for the next amazement, the next moment, the next now, and then ignore that.
We don't have a problem with the labyrinth itself. But what if the walls weren't quite so high? What if your field of vision wasn't askewed? Maybe if it was like a half fence, you have to stay within these parameters. But if you could see over the wall, here at the wall, here at the wall, if you could say here at the wall and see over it, then guess what? You'd say, okay, I'm going in this sort of geographic direction. So if I keep taking a left-hand turn, and then if every time I take a left, I take a right, it's going to move me to that corner because that's where the cheese is, then you just seamlessly stroll along the way going in the direction that you were trying to achieve, which if you're the rat in the maze, it's to get the cheese. Mm. And if you could lower the wall, if you could take your field of perspective or raise your eye level within this ionic field, then guess what? You don't get caught with your pants down. You know the outcome. You know the flow. You know the process. And once you know that process, you can still have all the contrasting feelings of life, because you want the contrast, that's how you create, but you don't have to be so buried by it.
Yeah, you never get down, you never get rid of the wall and the continuous amazement, but you're really good at erasing it pretty quickly and
or
demanding.
Seeing above it.
And you say, okay, reality, bring more on.
That's an ascended being, one who can see over the wall.
And knows that you never totally get over the wall. And so we, every day, do our day, then we interact with Ion. And interacting with Ion exercises us seeing through or over the wall. And that's a metaphor for if we didn't have Ion, we might have another means to exercise ourselves.
You constantly wonder, okay, we're now here, but that's nowhere. We're
right.
No closer to here than we were when we were there. Well, we were there, but now we're
and
here.
And if you relax and allow in that process, which I do, so
and
I'm
you
always
don't note it.
I'm always erasing the wall.
No, you don't erase the wall. You just don't mind where you are in that perspective. You relax and allow where you are. You were perfectly happy in New York, and you're perfectly happy in Maui. You didn't know the difference other than Carolyn moved, and you thought you might better go with her.
Yeah, it was more convenient. I didn't have to put on so many shoes or clothes.
You didn't know that until you got here.
Well, I enjoyed the amazement part here. Oh, this is great.
And you enjoy it so much so that relaxing and allowing allows a new confidence in your place of knowing, I think I know.
Yeah, that helped Ion happen.
Of course, that activation is the ascension process that we're trying to get the physical meatsack, the non-physical consciousness, and the labyrinth of the mind not to be offended or raise your awareness, cosmic or otherwise, to the degree that you can see the full perspective of where you are and where you're going and the distance between you and you, then guess what? Everything becomes your oyster. You can then find the pearl every single time.
And in my particular case, I treat it. Okay, let's go to Maui. Nah, well, it might be different. I don't know. And I get here, and then I enjoy the difference. And
right.
Then I, nah, that, nah, we want more, and then more comes. So that's the ascension process.
Correct. And once you get there, then you're not wondering, well, did we mess up? Are we supposed to write a book? Are we not supposed to write a book? Are people going to buy this? Or do we want a website? What kind of website? Well, what do we have to do for people to notice? And if we're going to write the blog of the future now, what does it have to be for people to actually engage it? And how much can we do to get them into the place where they'll take it on and this becomes part of their beingness, so much so that they would actually be interested in this particular format in which we're laying it out? Do we have to lay it out a different way? And then if we decide to go that way, which words do we have to buy from Google to make this so that force people into a place of recognizing that this will help them and they'll be happy if they'll ever figure this part out? And see, even after you figure it all out and get it developed, then you come back and say, well, then how do I do it better? How do I do it more efficiently? How can I type the same number of words and reach 10,000 more people rather than having to do the same words 10,000 times? Okay? And that's what you call efficiency. But it's only allowing yourself to come to this place where people stand in amazement and go, wow, you know, that chick looks about 30 and she's 112. What's she got going on here? There must be something to this, and I don't really care what she says. I just want to eat what she's eating and do what she's doing, because apparently I'm not offended by the outcome that she has embraced. Now, does that make her all-knowing and being and seeing? No. She has questions. She has contrast. She figures it out. She spins it up and makes pate most days, okay? And that's okay, fine. But in that process, she's constantly redefining that level of degree of perfection to make the recipe of life come out the way she wants it to come out, the way she wants it to come out. Maybe there's a different application. Maybe we want it more like mayonnaise or less like mayonnaise or a different degree if we play and adjust with the frequency of the recipe. Now, once that happens, if there's the non-physical part. We're talking about Carolyn, if you haven't figured this out yet. The non-physical part of Carolyn is resonating at a different level. She has a different kind of client than she used to have. Used to, she'd only get those that are on the edge of hospice. Non-physical couldn't even help them because of where they are, and those were her lot. Well, then she redefined what she wanted, and she could peep over the wall, and she's starting to remember that whole process, and then different clients are showing up in her experience. And that felt pleasurable to her. And it's kind of like, cool, okay, I can go with this. I like this. Yeah, I'll have a little more. But you don't start off with a great big vat of that because you don't know how you're going to digest it. So you limit that flow based on your comfort level of achievement. But that's what you'd like to reference it as. So it makes it very simple and very easy that you don't need $100 million to make your point. You can make your point with where you are. And they'll show up. They just will. And you just keep doing what you're doing, because what you're doing is what you're going to do with $100 million or without $100 million. Same. When it's the same, then it doesn't make any difference. When it doesn't make any difference, they'll build a road to you and have it go nowhere else but to you. Well, that's the ascension process that we've sort of developed, and coming to a place where we need real, live, living, physical, breathing examples of how you attach the physical meat sack, the non-physical part, through the unamazing labyrinth of the mind. When the labyrinth of your mind has less amazement, then you have a higher degree of a confidence to proceed in the pathways that you sojourn.
We talked about the four and the five-ness. We've got the four relations, the electron, proton, neutron, and the ion. Is there a new particle or something you would name that comes in as you ascend? Is there a fifth element, a fifth particle?
What does Thoth call it? They call it an ascended, the ascension, the ascended man.
So maybe become a capital E for electron, a capital N for neutron.
No, you wouldn't notice it that way. You'd only have a whole U and a whole U. Once you're ascended capital M-A-N, then you would notice the particulate field as being individualized.
Yeah.
You'd realize that those electrons that are constantly jumping also take the nucleus, and it's in retrospect. So therefore, if it's in retrospect, then the world that you're in right now may be very different than the world you're in nowhere.
Did you did you say the electron takes the nucleus or the neutron with it?
It takes all of it with it. That's why it's anomalous.
When it jumps, it takes it all with it.
Yes. The neutron, the center, the nucleus of the cell, if the electron can disappear and both can inhabit the same time-space, then, therefore, the nucleus of that cell must also be able to be dividable within two parallel realities. It has to.
That's the two snowballs that Nina shows in Fringe, in a way.
From a cellular level.
Yeah.
If that's the case, if one cell is two worlds, or if an electron, which is by definition the part that goes around the nucleus of a cell, that's where you had to figure out how to do it to split an atom, and when you did that, you caused all kinds of energy flow from the splitting of a single atom in a particular field. Well, that's because those two electrons can inhabit the same space or neither space. They jump. When that's the case, then that nuclei has to also, if it's standard, then it has to be representative of multi-worlds.
Right.
Otherwise, those electrons can't imbibe the same space in the same year-time continuum, or be eliminated for they both to disappear or completely disappear from the nucleus of an atom.
So cell division is an approximation of what goes on.
Cell division is replicating itself. It's the replication.
Dividing the nucleus to be both worlds with the electrons and drag it to the other world, that is not represented by the replication division.
That is exactly correct. And very good, Bob, because that's what would decide how thick the walls of your labyrinth are. Good. That's very good.
Right, but you said that. Now, what is that that would decide? We were talking about the cell replication.
Dividing of nucleus, cell division.
Yeah. So which of those two is the that which makes the difference?
The cell division.
Cell division meaning the replication or the both kinds?
No, cell division is not replicating. Cell division is cells dividing. And that replication is what can determine the thickness your wall,
right,
of the labyrinth of your mind.
And that's not connected to the process of the nucleus being divided to cover the electron jumping.
That's correct. It doesn't undo parallelism.
All this is irrelevant if the person becomes ascended.
No, they won't ascend until they can have the empirical proof of the proof in the pudding that it is.
Right.
No. You're going to prove to me that there's ESP, or even if I've got it, I'm not going to have it.
I'm just saying this image of the atom that we're talking about, that's a shared image. The mind doesn't have to have that. Or why do people agree that matter is made up of that?
The same reason that they didn't understand there was antimatter until it was.
Yeah, but why did minds agree?
The consciousness within their beingness, they used their power to divisively divide themselves from their power.
Through developing technologies.
But see, technology is what put everybody tweeting at the same time, and Facebook on the same
space,
and MySpace on the same RSpace.
Yeah.
And the technology actually corralled it back around to put everybody back to it. You mean everyone has genitalia? Yes. Would you like to see mine? Yes. And I'm so excited about it that it makes me want to look at mine. And I notice mine's different than yours, but it's still genitalia. Isn't that interesting? Then you come to a place where that becomes such a place that now even sexuality has no modesty. Now it's no big deal. And so then the next sex site will be my sexy big toe, and you have a big toe website where you can look at other people's big toe and just be aroused from the looking at someone else's big toe.
Okay.
It makes about as much sense as the size of the genitalia.
In Shakespeare's era, they did not have the image of the neutron, proton, and nucleus, electron.
Oh, but the concept, they most certainly did. That's what William Shakespeare and Chaucer and T.S. Eliot and all those in that swirling spin came into the place of even developing fatalism.
There was always the expression separation of the tensions of consciousness.
Degrees of separation, we'd call that.
So then where did we get the image of the electron? That we got it from some microscope or whatever technology J.J. Thompson had in the 19th century.
They put a corn grain in the earth. They would sacrifice it to die, and in its death, new life would spring up eternal from it, and you would get a multiple, not just, you put one corn grain in the field, and it comes up a corn stalk. Well, that won't help. You got to have more than one for them to pollinate. But then when you get the ears of corn, each ear of corn off of that one corn stalk has, 100 or plus individual corn seeds that you get much more out of it than you put into it. And you realize that there had to be some anomaly that you had an increase in what you put in the ground and what you got out. Because otherwise, if you just put one in the ground and just got one out, you'd never make any more than that one. Because every time you'd make more, you'd have to have the one that you had made from the last time for the next time.
What's that got to do with Thompson coming up with the idea or image of the electron?
It was used, the empirical reference that proved that there had to be some dynamic that allowed this replication of these different particulate fields that allowed that anomaly to be understood.
The image we have, you say that my body's made up of the cell, and that's that. They certainly did not have that notion, those images, 400 years ago.
They certainly did, because they looked at what happened when they reaped and sowed.
And what did they see happen?
They put one seed in the ground and they got 10,000 out of each seed.
So the concept of the electron led to some kind of multiplication idea?
They did. They noticed empirically 400 years ago that if there was one tree, okay, they cut all the trees down, and there's one tree that grows. And then there's a conifer, if you would like to use that. It doesn't matter what kind. The next thing you know, if you leave that the hell alone, do take no action regarding it, and leave it alone, it won't be many moons until you have an entire forest of that same kind of tree.
Now, what's that got to do with the Thompson coming up with theory that matter was based on electron or something?
Same reason that the electron field is replicatable, duplicatable from a multiplication process, that there had to be individual cellular structure that had to be divisible by itself. If it wasn't divisible by itself, it couldn't split to make more.
How did they get into that idea? Why didn't they just accept the corn idea 400 years ago? Why did we... Well, 400 years later, we don't talk about the corn thing. We talk about electrons and neutrons. Why do we do that? Because our structures have changed.
They most certainly have not.
What about the TV body and the chip bodies?
And how's that working for you, Bob?
Working great for everybody. It's keeping the economy going.
Is it? Is it going?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then, okay. Well,
yeah, it's still going.
So what you're saying is there's as much money now as there was 400 years ago.
No, I'm saying communication carries on.
But if it carries on, then it was carrying on before.
Someone at the beach was saying today, he says, the house of cards is very fragile. It's going to fall. I don't know why it hasn't fallen yet. And I said, well, as long as we keep typing, it won't fall. And he didn't know whether that was true or not. And nobody knows.
That's because 400 years ago, they weren't so tangled up with their time.
We got more bodies now.
So it takes more time to count them?
Look, obviously technology came in the 19th century. The voltaic cell was invented and the telegraph and all these things made someone think that there might be an electron idea. I think his name was Thompson. And that led into the 20th century. Those ideas were evoked by new inventions that happened.
Well, but the new inventions were based upon the old empirically provable references. We're saying there's no difference now than there was 400 years ago. You just have bigger words and you have something too tight.
Okay,
they in those days just knew. They didn't have to have, the Wikipedia. They just knew.
See, you're bringing in some psychological quality, which is part of what goes on in human things, but you're ignoring the changes on the surface.
What are the changes?
We go to the Wikipedia.
Yeah, you go to the Wikipedia, which is no difference than just making up your own crap and thinking, well, I think this is right, so it's right. Because that's what the Wikipedia is. It's an individual collective where people can say, no. You, individual you, human, Bob, can go into that Wikipedia and change it to make it say anything you want to say. How is that different than it was 400 years ago when they said the earth is flat and it was flat, okay?
Well, you know how they did? Because they had their argument in the little pub and then they went back to the farm and milked the cow or went to sleep or bawled the maid. You know, the thing is they just had that. But we can go home with the same issues and start typing and wikiing and MySpacing and calling and watching TV. And, you know, it's a different range of activities goes on.
So they no longer bald the maid?
Yeah, they just bald their neighbor and everybody else, or just take Viagra and have a group masturbation or something. There's all different kinds of expressions. They got more places to hide now.
But yet, there's nowhere to hide.
That's another aspect. That's the chip body. Is
our point is, we would ask you, finally, are you better now than you were then? And we say, from our place of looking, we can't tell the difference.
Well, that's probably true on the level of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, those relationships. There's the same spiritual problem, you could say, or the condition of incompletion.
It's the same.
It's always the same. Yes, but on the surface, the collective organism makes up new environments.
But the new environments that are being made up are no different than a Hollywood version of a good screenplay. And that creation is fuller. It's a bigger thing. Look, Hansel and Gretel was a great big deal not so terrible long ago. Well, now all of a sudden Hansel and Gretel's turned into werewolves and Twilights and all these different
versions. You said there's no difference between the screenplay and the Hollywood dream. There is a difference between the little manuscript and then the movie. Okay, it's a different experience.
Well,
it doesn't maybe solve the drama that the viewer has personally about what they're doing with their being. No, but it's a surface world of language. It's a different kind of language interaction. Technology is being linguistic.
So in the linguistics, they didn't understand their ancient Samaritan Hebrew Lord any more than they understand the English that they change at the moment's second notice.
You're monitoring the understanding of humans, but humans come here to mix up. They don't care whether they understand or not because they're here to mix it up.
More than they did 400 years ago.
Yes, but they do it differently now, and that's where the image of the electron came.
Well, different does not make it more complete.
No, not saying it's more complete. They never get it done. What is it? But it's always enough for humans.
Yeah,
the pain is always enough.
It's all they've got.
It's all they've got. They will not allow any more to enter their reality on the spiritual level or the
physical level.
On the physical level, but they will allow themselves to experience other, quote, physical things like movies, TVs, cars, and swimming pools and condos and yachts.
Because technology made more time.
And you mean the notion of time that you don't like?
We don't have to like it if there isn't any. So whether we like it or not...
Okay, well, forget that. The time concept you're always saying we're screwed up on? Yes, we've piled on the false premise of time more and more, correct?
Well, like, so that now you don't have time to make time.
That's because we're doing a lot of things within the time.
Well, what are you really doing?
We're tweeting,
you
we're chipping, we're driving the car.
You go to the beach,
they got their Kindles, they eat their sticker bars, they're reading the Kindle, they're answering the phone. You're saying the person who woke up 400 years ago spends his energy of his body in perception that day, and it's the same amount of energy expenditure? Even though he's not doing as much, he is maybe looking at the trees and birds more or something.
All there was to do 400 years ago.
So I see someone on the beach reading their Kindle. It's the same as someone 400 years ago walking on the little pathway and looking at birds and the sunlight and all that.
And allowing their mind to have wonderful, marvelous thought processes of talking to the birds or having communication with their spiritualness.
You seem to favor that form of human dispensation of energy, that they are allowing themselves to have different experiences within their subjectivity, but in their creativity of their parallel world traveling or bird.
So there's more creativity or less creativity now than 100 years ago.
I don't think that can be measured.
Why? It's better now than it was then. That's able to be measured. Why is this not?
It's more complex. Here's the issue. I'm trying to figure out what is the general consensus and then an indication of that. Why does everybody agree on the model of the electron that we have today rather than just walking among the birds 400 years ago and having an image of God or something that a local church provided? That was their centering image or icon. The difference in images is caused by technology. So there's that. Now, you're bringing the other point. How are humans doing with this? Well, they never did anything. That guy's walking along in the woods 400 years ago and enjoying it. He's still an unascended person. He's just amazed at the physical environment. Today, we're amazed at their four bodies.
Or baffled by it.
The bafflement of the amazement, that's still there. But I was asking the clinical question about why do people have a shared environment, a shared image? Why do they agree on the electron? The only reason they have the electron now image, that image, is because of the technologies that evoked that in the 19th century. And then that's within the question, what the hell is the shared thing that we have?
The non-physical part, the collectiveness that can allow human creators to give notice, just like they did 400 years ago, Bob.
To give notice to what?
That there was one oak tree and now there's 1,000 oak trees. What happened? The empirical references are absolutely the same. Instead of climbing up on a hill and looking at the vastness of it, they're looking at an electron microscope, and in a dot, they're looking at thousands of
the vastness of it, the same vastness.
Right. It's exactly the same, and they're talking about it or not.
Well, it's the same sensation, so to speak, the same thought effect. The same effect. Oh, I'm amazed at look how far I can see 400 years ago. And then the guy looks in a little microscope in a little cubicle room and he's, wow, I'm amazed at how much I can see in my microscope. So it's the same amazement. Now, Ion is saying, hey, don't get carried away that you're any better, because Ion's saying both of those situations, 400 years ago and now, are subject to amazement, and Ion, non-physical, is trying to get you out of your amazement.
Correct, because that maze confounds more than it confines you.
Yeah, and from that perspective, humans are always being amazed regardless of how much they got or how little they have. I can agree that's an ongoing, what I would call astrobody concern or the non-physical's concern. Mm-hmm. And you're saying that if we did get over our amazement, we'd have different technologies or we would have less involvement in those technologies.
Well, it wouldn't even matter. The creations would flow so vehemently that you would just be astounded.
Yeah, what would those creations be? Like, it would be an example of the steak showing up in JW's home after it's come out of a session and it wasn't there, but he ate it and he doesn't know where it came from. That's a creation, right?
Exactly.
In other words, Ion is for us to manifest things, quote, magically more.
The magicalness is when you understand that you are as powerful as you are. You are where you are.
Right.
Well, you realized how powerful you are, that there was enough energy in the clipping of your little fingernails to operate your world as far as energy goes, consumed, carbon footprint, whatever Al's calling it today. You come to a place to where it makes all these technologies that you're tickled with almost like about as technologically advanced as someone picking their own nose.
Right. The human condition is they're afraid to give up what they're amazed by to allow another kind of miraculous,
unlimited impossibility.
Yeah, they're afraid, well, can I drop what I'm doing and allow this other state to manifest out of the blue? It's hard for them to make that adjustment.
It's not out of the blue, it's out of the oblivious.
They're afraid to make that judgment, and as humans always say, humans don't, are creatures of habit, don't want to change. Or don't want to look at another way of manifestation. Non-physical watches humans forever arguing for their limitations.
And if that's what you want to do, that's wonderful. But don't come in here saying that it's all better now. Because it isn't any better. Matter of fact, some would say, wait a minute, it might even be less than.
Well, that's an interesting point. On the collective consensus where people seem to agree on a reality, they would say today, we're as confused as they were 1,000 years ago, but we're killing the Earth. No, we're killing the Earth. But I would say, no, you're not killing the Earth. That would first you clear up that thing. But the consensus thinks it's worse today because we're killing the Earth. You know what I mean? That's where they think it's worse today on the environmental level. You would say it's worse today for another reason.
You've got more to confuse you. There's more amazing in the amazement of the labyrinth of your mind.
By But you sit back and say, if you people want to amaze yourself and confuse that, we got no problem with that. But
I have no problem with it, but don't turn around and then question your own physicalness, question your own beingness, because you don't understand where you are in perspective to where you are. They didn't do that 400 years ago. They said, well, we are where we are. They got that. There was no query of is there a God or not and who God is. They took it as is.
You're saying the real spiritual part of herself is quite lost compared to 400 years ago.
Absolutely. They were founded. They understood non-physical. They understood what you call the laws of nature. They understood it's very difficult to maintain life living underwater when you're used to breathing. But humans today, they try to figure out ways to overdo that, and then they get crossways of it, and then they get croaked. And if all this contrast just brings you to the place where you have no choice but to, but then you go, wait a minute, I'm a human creator. Why would I want to move myself into a position where I have no choice? That seems quite foreign. It feels off to me somehow.
So the ionic field, do you think that is what I think I mean by tactility?
No. The ionic field is the level playing ground that allows cellular structure to be.
Well, that's sort of what I mean by tactility, because tactility is the thing that integrates the sensory life. It's not a sense in itself.
But it also confounds it. This field allows. It never confounds.
Oh, okay. You see, tactility confounds things. Well, then that tactility is
contrast.
Yeah, and the mind provides that. So tactility
exactly.
is the mind factor interacting.
Exactly, and that's why in non-physical you have no contrast, because you have no labyrinth to fight to get through.
Yeah,
to get
so
the
there's no tactility.
You got the cheese.
Yeah,
you
there's no
here.
Tactility of the non-physical.
No tactility in there, and therefore there's no contrast, and therefore there's no creation. What we're proposing, however strange, is in your ascendedness, you can have creation and you can have heaven on earth as it is in heaven, and you can have choices and you can have directions that you like to engage, but they don't have to be so confounding that you forfeit your beingness in spite of yourself. That's where you come into the ascension process that allows heaven on earth as it is in heaven. Because if you can come to that place, then guess what happens? Then you can have heaven on earth, and you don't have to die. You ascended being. All you've done is forgotten all the basics of your spirituality that allowed you to just be and to relax and allow where you are and be happy in whatever state you're in, to confound yourself to such a place that you don't even know where you are. So now you're nowhere when you're now here. You've forgotten more of what reality is based on your technology that you created that confounded your very place of beingness. You're basically excluding yourself from yourself, which makes the distance between you and you more than it was. You're living longer, but you're still committing the same suicide that you did before. You're living longer, and there's more of you, so there's a building place, and you have more and more and more creators. It's kind of like, well, we're as screwed up as we can be, so let's add another billion people and see how we do. Okay, let's add another billion people. Okay, let's add another billion people.
Yeah,
okay.
we don't need to complain about that. You don't care.
No, it's not a complaint. It's just an observation that if you can wrap yourself around a little bit, you go, well, yeah, why do we get so carried away with who the sitting president is?
I think you're being a little critical.
Oh, it's delicious. It gives us something to play with. You wouldn't need us otherwise. You wouldn't engage us.
If we had it together.
Mm-hmm. If you were there, you'd know you already have your non-physical, so